Woods' pocket, with officers saying he was sweating profusely and had glassy eyes. Woods is due in court in late April. New Steelers head coach Mike McCarthy says he continues to talk with quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who has yet to decide if he'll play in 2026. NFL owners approved a rule that would allow the league's officiating department to correct a clear missed call if replacement officials are needed to be used this upcoming season. It would be a one-year experiment. Another rule change allows teams to declare for an onside kick at any point in the game. Doc Rivers, Amari Stoudemire, Candace Parker heading to the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, California avocado growers will soon take center stage in the California Avocado Commission's Voice of the Grower consumer marketing ads that follows the award-winning What's Inside a California Avocado campaign. MorningAgClips.com reports, by integrating the voices and personal experiences of growers into the narratives established in the 2025 campaign, the commission will deepen consumers' desires for premium California avocados and reinforce what makes them special, the growers. Well, the Feeding the Economy report provides a yearly look at the full economic footprint of U.S. food and agriculture. Among the biggest takeaways is food and agriculture support $10.4 trillion in total economic output, about 20% of all economic activity. The sector supports nearly 29 million jobs, roughly 30% of all U.S. employment, even though on-farm jobs account for less than 2%. Food and ag generate over $1.3 trillion in tax revenue. And a letter signed by over 20 agricultural and biofuel groups was sent to government officials asking for reasonable guidelines allowing farmers to benefit from the 45Z tax credit. The credit is intended to facilitate the sale of ethanol and other biofuels in the aviation sector. The letter says tax incentives like 45Z are essential to secure long-term demand for liquid fuels made from American-grown feedstocks.
Spring alternaria pressure can be a real issue for almond growers, but Alyssa's fungicide can help control it. How do I know that? Because I'm an almond grower, and that hammering sound isn't from a shop. That's the sound of Alyssa's fungicide hitting back against diseases. Hey, can you keep it down for a minute? With two powerful active ingredients, Alyssa's fungicide lays a strong foundation against alternaria, rust, and scab, delivering dependable, long-lasting residual control. Okay, you're good now. Always read and follow label directions.
Ranchers, mark your calendar for the 5th annual Pitchfork Charlet Bull Sale coming up on Saturday, April 4th, 1 o'clock at Loma Livestock, Loma, Colorado. Selling a select group of high-quality Charlet bulls built for performance in pounds on the ground in tough country, plus registered open heifers and Charlet cross pairs, featuring sons of LT Affinity 6221 and more. Now, bulls qualify for Superior's Progressive Genetics Program. You can view the catalog at pitchforkcharlet.com or bid online at cattleusa.com.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are sharply higher on the last trading day of the month and quarter after President Trump told aides that he's willing to end the Iranian war without fully reopening the Strait of Hormuz. Stocks, though, are down sharply for the month on war-driven inflation fears, with the Dow and S&P 500 down more than 6% for their worst month since September of 2022. Tech is the best-performing sector, with the Magnificent Seven big-cap tech stocks rallying but closing out now the dismal month, and U.S. oil is trading over $101 a barrel. And shares of McCormick are falling 6%. The spice maker is combining with Unilever's food business in a cash and stock deal that will unite food brands including Hellman's Mayo, Knorr's Soup Mixes, and Old Bay Seasoning. The two companies said that the combined companies will have an annual revenue of about $20 billion. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Across the country, inventors are coming up with new ways to harness renewable energy sources, and some of the most influential of them want Uncle Sam to stay out. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
The Arab oil embargo of 1973 produced a lot of effects on America, and one of the beneficial ones was a great upsurge in creative research and development of alternative energy sources. Chief among these have been, of course, solar and wind energy. Naturally, there have been voices raised in Congress for Uncle Sam to spend more and more money on developing these new energy sources. But now some of the most respected voices in the alternative energy field are discrediting the arguments for ever-increasing government subsidies. Tom Bender is one such person. He was a leader in the creation of the National Center for Appropriate Technology, funded by the Federal Community Services Agency. But he has become a sharp critic of that organization and the federal funding approach in general. Bender says that government funding for alternative technology is probably not necessary, mainly because so much progress is being made without it. There's a growing awareness, he says, that our problems must largely be resolved by local responsibility and action, and that government money is not free dollars, but only our own hard work and taxes, diluted 5-1 with bureaucratic red tape and control. We always get the best results with our own money, he adds, because we're more careful with it. Local money is second best, and federal money the most dangerous. Another leading figure in solar energy development, Steve Baer, is even more critical. Baer says that President Carter is silly to hand out so much rhetoric about a national energy policy. Baer says there shouldn't be any national energy policy because no one has the wisdom to make one. We do not need a Department of Energy, he declares. We do not need laws governing everything from the car you drive to the windows in your house. Foolish people will waste their money on inefficient cars and badly built houses. Isn't that their business? Leave people alone with enough wealth after they pay their taxes and they will invent, develop, trade with each other, and do a good job of solving their own problems, says Baer. It's a great shame that the so-called energy crisis is being used by politicians to increase taxes and laws, thereby taking away liberties Americans have previously enjoyed. Behind every gentleman working on government research stand the police. I don't think the founders of our country had this relationship in mind. Unquote from solar energy leader Steve Baer. These solar pioneers are right on target. After we've heard so much romantic rhetoric about alternative energy sources, this kind of realism is refreshing, isn't it? This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call
423-4033. Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday. It's 1230. The Bear is in the building. We're time for protecting what matters. Actually, I should say the beauty and the beasts are in the building today. Welcome to our show. Protecting what matters is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. We're doing something a little different today. We have Melissa James, who's the president and CEO of Reach Central Coast. And the reason we have her in today is because every time John and I get together, we talk about economic development. And John thought it would be a great idea to have Melissa here to visit with us. So, Melissa, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Good to have you. We're going to talk about the latest updates on meaningful, and I want to emphasize this, private sector economic development in the Central Coast. We'll talk about balancing economic development in rural communities and all kinds of other policies, workforce development, affordable housing, so on and so forth. And then I am honored to have, for the whole 90 minutes in studio, at least I think it's an honor, John Pichong, our San Luis Obispo District 1 Supervisor. John, welcome back as always.
Appreciate the opportunity, as always.
All right. After we work over Melissa on economic development, I'm going to work John over on the county budget and concerns over all kinds of things that I know our listeners have. So it should be a great show. I want to wish everybody, all my fellow members of the tribe, happy Passover. Starting tomorrow night, Erev Passover. And by the way, Rabbi Mayor Gordon, I saw you come into the studio and we were dealing with a technical issue. And thank you for the box of matzah and a good yuntif to you. And of course, to everybody else, I wish you a happy Easter. It's going to be a big weekend. So thanks so much. All right. You can call in or text with comments or questions. 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. All right. Let's get right to it. Melissa, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us what Reach does.
Sure. So Melissa James, founding president and CEO of Reach. Reach has been around for about 7 years. Okay. We are an economic impact organization. We serve San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. And the thrust of our work is really about creating good-paying jobs, making sure that people are trained and equipped to step into those jobs, and then making sure that housing is affordable and within reach to our residents. So it's jobs, it's people, it's housing. And that really comes from a vision from our coalition that people today should have the ability to live, work, build a career, raise a family, own a home on the Central Coast.
All right. And what's your background? You used to work for that scoundrel Sam Blakesley, right?
I did. Yes. Yes, I did. I worked in the state government. So I worked in policy and legislative affairs. I worked in the district office when Sam was an assemblyman. I worked in the district office when he was a senator. And then I had the opportunity to work in the Capitol office when he was a senator as well. Spent some time in boutique political consulting in Sacramento. And really, after a couple of years of a tour of duty in Sacramento, I realized just how special this place is. Yes. And came back and have had a lot of opportunity to work within economic development and local organizations like Chambers of Commerce, as well as I was a part of a founding team of a think tank that Sam founded at Cal Poly, Institute for Advanced Technology and Public Policy.
How cool. How cool. Yeah. So tell us again, tell us a little bit about who's on your board, and you also have something called engagement bodies.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how REACH operates in general, and where you get your funding from.
Sure. So we're a 501c3. We have a coalition of, you know, engaging anywhere from about 400 different leaders on any given month, and it's broken up into a variety of different boards and advisory bodies. We have a private sector board of directors of, you know, business leaders from across the two counties. We also have investor circles, so our founder circle, our REACH Council, that engages all of the community colleges, universities, Cal Poly, UC Santa Barbara. We have Vandenberg Space Force Base that's a part of our REACH Council. We have, you know, businesses, K-12, education up and down the Central Coast. We also work very closely with local government. So Supervisor Pichon could talk a little bit about our partnership with the County of San Luis Obispo. We are in kind of the economic development arm of the county, so we work to advance economic development initiatives in the county. We do the same with Santa Barbara County and various cities. So it's really, if I had to summarize it, you know, we work at the intersection of business, education, community-based organizations, and government. And we try to bring alignment across all of those parties to create more economic opportunity for people in the community.
John, how does the Board of Supervisors utilize REACH to get the information that you need to make the right decisions?
Well, I think from my standpoint, and I think from other supervisors' standpoints, is that it's, and we've tried it both ways. We had an in-house economic development department with a director, and it didn't necessarily work all that well. My assumption is that they, you know, businesses and community want to see kind of what Melissa was talking about, which is the advisory groups, the board of directors, people in the community that have, they have a stake in how, what things go on, how we create jobs, how we grow our economy, how we make it, you know, easier for people to live here. And I've worked all over the country, and I will tell you that the communities that are not working are the ones that don't focus on this. They don't focus on how to keep, and this is a prime example, how to keep their young people after they go to school here, then they go to college, and then they can stay here with a good paying job and be able to get married, raise a family, do all the things that that we want to do in California. I think to me that's the biggest thing here is you've got to have professionals that are moving it forward, that have the trust of the community, and can go out there and talk to people in government, people in other nonprofits, people in business, and bring them all together. It's kind of a cross-section of how you bring everybody together to form a coalition to support support business here on our Central Coast.
Well, speaking to one of your points, I'll tell you a real-life story. I have a client, and I guess he's in Minnesota, and he's in a high-tech company. And when he found out that I, you know, was near Cal Poly, he said that, you know, they graduate some great students and we steal them all.
That's right.
because you guys, they can't find a place to live. Mm-hmm. They can't find good jobs and they leave the county. So, yeah, people, these companies from out of the area are just poaching our best talent. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure we're going to get to that topic here before. What percentage of your funding comes from private sector versus your, you know, state and local government?
Majority of our funding comes from the private sector.
Okay.
So it's business leaders that are investing in this mission and this work. Mm-hmm. And then we secure government contracts and grants for very specific projects that align with our work.
Okay, great. And of course, you got a pretty good sized staff.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're about 15.
Wow. Okay, cool. All right. So tell me, what do you think, I mean, as you get up every morning to do your work, what do you consider to be the biggest impediments to private sector economic development in the county?
Yeah, well, we kind of were touching on it just in your commentary right there. You know, the biggest impediment is hands down housing, and housing that is affordable, attainable to the workforce that's growing here. If you don't have a place to live, you're not going to be able to stay here and build a career. So that is a very big impediment. The second one would be kind of talent. So the talent development and making sure that we are developing that talent into the industries and the jobs of the future. So any across industries, whether it's healthcare or agriculture or building design and construction or aerospace, it's housing and workforce. Those are the two things that they need to be able to grow their companies, their businesses, their operations, and, you know, stay and expand here in the region.
I mean, and again, I know we're going to probably get to this more in depth as we go through this, but I mean, are you, that's what we talk about every time you come on the show, housing and
it is.
And economic and development.
It's our root, I think our biggest problem here is that, you know, we don't have the houses that we do have, that rarely do they come up nowadays for sale. And who can afford these? If somebody's just leaving, you know, Cal Poly, getting a tech job or getting, you know, a defense job or whatever kind of job they're getting, and they're just not. It's not possible. It's not possible for these young families. And that, to me, is why it's so exciting for Reach to be able to reach out, you know, to around the country and be able to talk to people about it and be the marketing organization,
right,
that gets people to understand kind of the benefits of coming to a county like San Luis Obispo. Yes, we only have about 280,000 people in our county, but we have some really smart people. And there's different fields that they're smart in, and they have the opportunity, I think, to really shine when it comes to being able to build out some of these corporations that are coming.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. I mean, you talk about the jobs of the future, mm-hmm. Melissa. What are you seeing as the jobs of the future for any young people that are listening, or people, parents or grandparents that have young people that mm-hmm. they're trying to motivate into? It's changed a lot. I mean, it's not always a four-year college education
it
anymore.
Sure isn't.
So what are you seeing out there, and what kind of changes are you seeing?
Yeah, so for us, it's really about, we have an amazing economy here on the Central Coast. We have legacy industries like agriculture and energy that have been, you know, decades of you know, industry rooted here. Where we are putting some emphasis and focus is really on other opportunities that we have, where we maybe have some important assets that could help diversify our regional mm-hmm. economy. So industries that people might not be as aware of that are burgeoning, that are growing, are technology, mm-hmm. certainly within, you know, software, semiconductors, high tech related innovation, just to the south of us at UC Santa Barbara. Quantum is very much rooted in expanding. They have Google Quantum and Microsoft that are there doing some of the most interesting things. So think the technology of the future. Another one is space and aerospace. Mm-hmm. I think folks, you know, in these last few years, we're seeing rockets launch from Vandenberg, you know, every couple of days.
I see them from my backyard.
We all do. It's
yeah.
It's fascinating. Over the course of the last 5 years, you know, it was only 9 launches a year. Mm-hmm. And now we're getting up to every 2 to 3 a week. Mm-hmm. So it's a completely different opportunity.
Yeah.
But it's not just space. It is aerospace and aviation. So mm-hmm. thinking of what's happening in Paso with the Paso Robles Spaceport and the ways that we're kind of rooting down and anchoring space innovation here in the North mm-hmm. County. It's everything from drones to kind of uncrewed aerial systems. So there's innovation happening in North County with the Honda Research Institute, where they are actually doing the R&D for electric vertical takeoff and landing mm-hmm. vehicles. So there is so much happening in space and aerospace. Aviation is another. So you're seeing partnerships right now between Cuesta College and ACI Jet that are putting young people into good paying jobs that don't require a four-year education, and that is a partnership that the county has supported that as well, put investment into that program, and now they're growing and expanding that. So I think aerospace aviation is absolutely an opportunity to be watching and looking at. There's a lot of programs that are starting to get into the K-12 space, so that kids that used to go into, you know, auto shop, and that would be kind of a career pathway, now they're going into environments that are like a clean room environment, where they're doing learning manufacturing skills, that those kids are going to be able to go work on a drone, work on a rocket, work on an airplane, and mm-hmm. be able to step into a really good paying job.
And is that training happening up here right now?
It sure is.
Oh, that's cool. Real quickly, I just want to circle back with a question for you, John. You know, on the affordable housing front, do you think that this San Luis Obispo rental registry will positively or negatively impact affordable housing in the county?
personally, I believe it will harm it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest problem we have in San Luis Obispo County with affordable housing right now is the cost to build a single unit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about low-income housing, I think we spend about $900,000 a unit. If you go to Clark County, Nevada, it's $400,000 a unit.
Hmm.
Why is Nevada doing it? And they're not building half the size of the location or the apartment or the house or whatever it is. They're building the same thing. And so I think we've got to really look at the way that this government has overreached, overexpanded, and asking people to pay too much. And this is the number one complaint I get a lot of times in with county government, state government. And state government is putting a lot of new restrictions on things that we do here to be able to get people into housing.
I think that the general philosophy of most of our state and local governments is to have, over the decades, has been to create a false scarcity of resources, whether it's energy, whether it's housing, mm-hmm. whether it's the ability to, or water.
And I'll give you an example. The city of Paso Robles is doing a great job of building more houses. Now, mm-hmm. some people may not like the fact that there are more houses and more people in their community. There might be a little more traffic. But I'll tell you, there are going to be 2,000 new families moving into those.
Mm-hmm.
And those 2,000 families are all going to need jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And those 2,000 families are going to have kids that go to the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to be able to, you know, want to have their kids stay here. And that's why REACH does a great program called Uplift, which mm-hmm. they got $14 million to be able to do that, to build, you know, the workforce of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, those are the types of programs that benefit the community. Long mm-hmm. after all of us are gone, those programs will still be paying benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So here's another impediment that I don't know if you guys are looking into, but I think one of the biggest impediments up here is the scarcity of medical care.
Yeah.
Being able to get doctors and into the county. I mean, my doctor passed away a year ago, and they really couldn't find another doctor that could afford to move up here to take over a really booming practice. And is REACH looking at that? I mean, because again, I'm an old guy, so it's like I have a doctor for every part of my body, it seems, and it's just harder and harder mm-hmm. to find good medical care up here.
Yeah, we work with all of the major hospitals in the region. They're all a part of our REACH Council and our Founder Circle. Sue Anderson of Dignity was our past board chair. So the hospitals are very deeply embedded into this work. And what they would tell you is that the same things that I shared before about housing is their biggest impediment to being able to attract and retain doctors. Cottage Hospital, just down in Santa Barbara, one thing that they did to try to solve this issue is they actually built housing for healthcare professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So you're starting to see that with education and with healthcare, that they are trying to tackle this challenge by just becoming housing developers themselves.
Yeah.
One thing I think has been very interesting over the course of just the last, maybe 3 months, Adventist, that obviously operates the two hospitals in mm-hmm. Slo County and
yep.
Dignity. Collectively, those two systems have announced over $450 million in capital investment that they're going to be making into hospitals in Slo County, which is a really, really big deal.
Yeah, that is a big deal. We got about another minute left here. And we might have to take this on the other side of the break. We probably will. But how is California's energy policy helping or impeding development here?
Well, that is a big question, and it's probably a moving target whenever you're talking about energy policy mm-hmm. from the intersection between the federal perspective and California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of intersection and interplay within that.
Mm-hmm.
What I can tell you is that, and let's make sure we get a little bit more conversation around this, is Diablo Canyon mm-hmm. nuclear power plant, the state's last nuclear power plant, accounts for 10% of the state's energy.
Yep.
And that is something that the legislature and the community have come together to keep it open for another 5 years. And there's an active conversation happening right now about the need to keep that open for a lot longer.
I thought it was they had extended it for longer.
They have extended it in California until 2030, and there is a need to extend it for another 20 years. The federal government.
They're working on it.
They are working on it.
I've actually attended a number of meetings mm-hmm. Because they have applied to be able to keep it open for longer.
Yeah.
But it's just the thing. With AI and all of the data centers, we're going to definitely
need yep. Yep. You know, I hear the bumper music on the other side of the break. We'll continue this conversation about Diablo Canyon. Folks, we'll be right back with Melissa James and John Pichong. Stay tuned.
Sure.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
I've got deals on latex beds. I've got deals on memory foam beds.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
I've got beds with springs, hybrids, where they got springs and memory foam, or springs and latex, or some with even springs, latex, and memory foam. I've got them all.
Big savings now on mattresses of all shapes and sizes at the Mattress Specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
The Slow Beaver Brigade invites eager beavers of all ages to the 4th Annual Central Coast Beaver Festival, Saturday, April 11th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Mission Plaza in San Luis. Vendors, food, music, children's activities, and more. Come learn why you want beavers as a neighbor and how to prevent flooding from beaver dams. The 4th Annual Central Coast Beaver Festival, Saturday, April 11th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Slow Mission Plaza. Admission is free.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Melissa James, President and CEO of Reach Central Coast, and District 1 County Supervisor John Pichong. You can call or text with questions, comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. We're going to go back to Diablo Canyon because I know Melissa has more to say about this.
Well, I think, you know, what I would say is what is forecasted in the state of California is that energy demand is going to increase 15% by 2030. And if you look at Diablo Canyon as 10% of the state's power, and it's carbon-free, base load, reliable, affordable energy, we have to keep that in our energy mix. And not just keep it, we have to grow and expand other types of energy generation, because with the as Supervisor Pichong was saying right before the break, the energy demand with AI and data centers, it's only going to continue to increase. With electrification, it's only going to continue to increase. So we have to keep what we have and grow and expand new types of innovation. And there's a lot of that actually happening on the Central Coast. We've got the anchor of the state's last nuclear power plant, but there's other types of innovation happening as well.
Such as?
Fusion energy.
Okay.
So, you know, down in kind of the Santa Barbara area, a Nobel Prize winner who invented technology that we all use, LED technology, okay, has now, you know, rolled out a fusion energy company called Blue Laser Fusion. That's one of, you know, several, you know, throughout the state. But that is a new type of energy, you know, generation that we're going to see over the course of probably the next decade. We had the former Energy Secretary Granholm at an event that we had just last month, and she said she believed that fusion energy would be, you know, in the next decade.
That's what they're saying.
It will be a game changer.
Yeah, it could be.
But the innovation and some of the research and the development of that is happening in our region, mm-hmm, which is pretty interesting. Another interesting one is wave energy technology. She talked about that. Hmm. We have in San Luis Obispo County, Cal Poly has the Cal Poly Pier kind of out in Avila. Hmm. And they recently, through a partnership with the DOE, have that site is now able to be a kind of an energy test facility. Hmm. So just thinking about the all the very smart people that we have in our region and a legacy industry, the research out of Cal Poly and UCSB, lots of opportunity.
So John, who's fighting expanding Diablo Canyon or even keeping it online? Or is it the usual China syndrome, Chernobyl people who are living, 50 years ago?
I think some of that is. Some of those folks, maybe chained themselves to the gate there with Jackson Brown, 40 years ago. But I would say that a lot of people that I see challenging it, and these are the people, I was at the Coastal Commission meeting probably 3 months ago, and I spoke there in support of Diablo Canyon and the 2,000 employees there. Supervisor Gibson wants to really look at it and shut it down. There's some other folks that are elected officials, community activists that want to shut it down. But then you have things like, because they've staked everything on, a clean energy future. But you also need batteries. So then we have a battery accident, which shut down lots of farmland. And so you've got to kind of weigh it where the technology is and whether we can right now, do it. We're in an energy transition, mm-hmm. and you need all of the above energy strategies, including oil and solar and wind and nuclear. And the other one that really gets me that California does not recognize as clean energy is hydroelectricity, which, we actually buy it into our grid from outside the state.
Right.
And those are all the other states around us. They look at that as a clean energy, but we don't. So to me, you've got to look at all energy to be able to say, this is how we're going to get where we need to be. Because California, in the state of California, San Luis Obispo County has the most power shutoffs of any other county in the state of California. And so just imagine if we don't get all of the above energy strategy going, we're not going to be able to keep the lights on.
So I'm not a conspiracy guy, but there's always seems to be somebody behind a policy. Who's behind not doing this? Are there institutional powers that be that are trying to create this level of scarcity for some reason that is not apparent to me?
I actually don't think so. I just think that we're using so much energy, especially if you think about it. Diablo Canyon functions at nighttime too. Mm-hmm. Solar, wind, all of those. But hydro doesn't. Hydro works at mm-hmm. nighttime. Oil works at nighttime. Natural gas works at nighttime. And I know everybody's talking about, a carbon free world. But as we talk about this, the Chinese are adding, that government is adding what, like one gas powered power plant a day, mm-hmm. Maybe two. And so what you're talking about, once again, is, yes, we're moving in an energy transition, but the transition's not there. The technology's not there. We have to develop the technology to be able to function, especially if we're going to build out these data centers. And I was just talking about, Microsoft, looking to buy Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania to be able to, have enough energy to be able to work their data center. And there are new nuclear technologies. If you look across, everybody's talking about the different kinds of nuclear technology mm-hmm. and the things that they can do. The nickname for it was tabletop, mm-hmm. tabletop nuclear, yep. But it's modular nuclear power plants mm-hmm. that can function on their own and can take care of like an entire neighborhood or an entire city, and be able to function after a much smaller footprint. And so to me, that's the direction we're going in. You just heard about, about the fusion future, mm-hmm. which is in a tremendous technology. When it can be harnessed, it's going to change the things that we do. Once again, zero, and it's going to really help our communities.
Well, and I do know that, one of the big problems that right now in the Persian Gulf is we have a shortage of hydrogen. Yes. For these AI centers that everybody's trying to build out. So we need, and I'm not sure exactly what they're using the hydrogen for, but I'm guessing it's something power related.
Well, I think it's cooling.
Cooling.
Number one,
okay.
Yeah, cooling. But I just saw a picture of a data center that's floating in the middle of a lake, mm-hmm. and they use the water to be able to cool it instead of using energy to, mm-hmm. to do it. So there's all kinds of technology out there. I mean, I truly believe, though, that we have to be open to all these technologies as we go through this transition.
Absolutely. So we got about, well, we may not even have a minute left. I think, I was right. I looked at the clock. Anyway, okay, on the other side of the break, we're going to continue this conversation with Melissa. I want to specifically talk about how you balance all this development with our rural economy and rural feel here in Central Coast. And then also, I really want to dig into the industries that you're working with and how you see those panning out. So folks, we'll be back on the other side of the break after Paul Harvey in the news. Please stand by.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton. It's